Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
What do you do if you've tried and tried six times and what you're trying to make happen never happens? That was the dilemma facing our special guest today, James Allen. He says, I built six different funnels and courses that didn't make me a penny until I changed my strategy. Then I built one that sold for me in my sleep on repeat. In my mind, that's an evergreen money machine. James got so good at this that he helps coaches and content creators enjoy the same benefits of automated and scalable income that he has himself. James was a productivity coach when he shifted into helping people create evergreen funnels. He started out in construction and left to become a spiritual life coach at age 22. He's going to share plenty of money while you sleep secrets that really work on the show today. First, a pleasant reminder, especially to all you overeager marketers, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. Most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. James, welcome. Glad you're here.
Yeah, honored to be here. Super stoked to be hanging out with you guys and talking about copy and funnels and all that jazz.
Good. Well, what do you say we get right into it? What would you say is the biggest mistake course creators make when it comes to building products?
Oh, yeah. This is a great question. Something that I hear all the time from people who want to get into creating courses or a funnel, and they want the benefit that comes with it. And they're like, I just want to make money without having to constantly be on the clock, you know, and doing stuff. And it's like, even if you have an evergreen funnel set up, it's still going to take work, you know, even if you're running ads, which are fairly hands off, ads break, you know, there's changes in the market, and sometimes your ads just stop working. So it still takes work. But what a huge challenge that people face, and one of the most common things I hear is, James, I have like 100 different course ideas, and I don't know which one to choose. So they're like, my intuition just says, just pick one and go with it. And I'm like, don't, don't just do that. If you have 100 different ideas, you know, you mentioned in the beginning that I had like six different failed launches, which is true. And it was crazy, but I knew that it was possible. I knew it was possible to wake up to sales, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars while you're sleeping or going on vacation and making money without having to be on the clock all the time and have a system built. So that's what drove me to keep making products. And a big question I get is like, what was the one that sold? Like, what was the difference between that one versus the six that failed? And this is my thing that I always tell people to do. The biggest thing and the differentiator between the one that worked and the ones that didn't was that I actually listened to my audience. And it's so simple. If you want to write great copy for a sales page or for one of your clients, you have to really understand the audience and what drives them, what makes them pull out their credit card and actually pay you. A lot of people just build courses because they assume that, oh, if I build it, they will come. But that couldn't be further from the truth. That's what I did six times and didn't make any money. But the time when I really sat down, I had conversations, I ran surveys, I read comments. This is like before I was really using ChatGPT. I think it was before ChatGPT was even a thing. I just really got to know what people wanted. And for me, in my productivity days, when I started making actual sales from courses, that big thing was focus. And that was just the common thread that everybody wanted. They wanted to increase their focus. They wanted to be able to maintain focus, know what to focus on. It was that word focus always came out. So I came up with a course called Peak Focus Academy. Not the best name, but it worked. And it was because the topic was so hot and I knew the pain points that drove people to be like, that's my problem. This course is going to help me fix it. I'm going to buy it. So it's research. It's really understanding your people. And that's what I always teach my clients in my courses or private coaching. We got to really understand what's something that people actually want help with and are willing to pay for.
Okay, that's really great. And I want to get into it. And before we do, I want to circle back to something you said I mean, you're a spiritual life coach. I personally believe in intuition and depend on mine a lot, but not for making the choice of what my market's going to buy. And here's why. You talk about people pulling out their credit cards. That's right. That's how people buy. Well, does your intuition have a credit card? Is it going to pull it out over and over again to buy the course that it thought you should create? No. So intuition's great, but you got to use it in concert with other things. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And like the time where I'd say like, just go with your gut on this one is if you've done your research and you have 100 ideas, but you pick the top three, you do the research and it comes down to two that have an equal amount of demand. And you're like, pretty much I could go with either one of these. Then it's like, yeah, which one do you want to build? Which one was pulling you? Which one do you feel more inspired to build? But that's because you actually did the work of seeing the data and knowing that it's actually going to sell.
Yeah. And I also believe when it comes to gut feelings or intuition that the most valuable ones are the ones that are informed, like you just gave an example of. So, okay, I accept your premise from my own experience, from the experience of clients, and because I trust you, that you need to build something people actually want to buy. I mean, it sounds like a tautology, but so many people don't do it. It's actually a revelation. What are some tips for making sure you're building something people want to buy?
Yeah. So what I've learned over the years, and I just kind of started doing this with my clients, was that I figure if like people pay for outcomes, they don't wake up in the morning or wake up in the middle of the night and say, I just really want to buy a course or hire a coach. You know, I need to hire David just because they hire David, they hire me, anybody else, because they see it as a vehicle that's going to help them solve this problem. So we have to figure out this problem. It's a burning problem that people want to buy. My idea and what I like to do is get paid to build my courses. And that helps me build with more confidence. So what I mean by that is like, yeah, you can pre-sell courses, the idea, which sounds great on paper, but I like to have something tangible for people to actually get if they give me their money. So my different approach with kind of pre-selling, if you will, is to actually coach people through my process. You know, for you, for example, David, is like, if you're going to build a course on teaching people how to build a really high converting sales page, you probably get some clients that are going to pay you, you know, X amount, maybe thousands of dollars or tens of thousands. I don't know your price point, you know, but they're going to pay you a hefty amount to get your help with that and have you teach them privately how to do it. The difference between your course and your private coaching is just that your private coaching is done with you and your course is a do-it-yourself, but it's the same process and the outcome. And there is a difference between like coaching someone through it and then teaching them without kind of doing that, without actually being with them. But if somebody wants me to help them build a course, then I'll be like, yeah, if I don't have a program that teaches people how to do that already, I can coach this person through the process. And naturally, as I'm coaching them, I'm learning more about the specific pain points or how to teach them something. And ideally, I have, you know, 3 to 5 people I'm coaching through this process, but a lot of questions come up that are the same thing. And that's how I know, oh, this is really good to include in my course, because obviously it keeps coming up. And then I start building the course content and give my coaching clients access to it as I'm building it. And the next thing I know, my course content is created and I got paid to actually build it. So it's not just the idea of the course and what the problem it's solving. It's also when people get into it, you want them to actually finish it and get good results from it. So if you're actually building the course for real people and you're only putting in the meat and potatoes of what this person needs to know to get that result, then you have a much better chance of having a good quality course. So that's what I like to do.
I think that's wonderful. And this may be before your time, but there was an author, I think he lived in Marin County. His name was John Gray. And he wrote a book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And it was a huge bestseller. Well, I did a little investigation and it turned out he had done something like 10,000 one-on-one coaching sessions with men and with women to develop the techniques, the terminology, and the way of teaching the information before he ever wrote the book. So that's a pretty good example of what you're talking about. And I totally agree with you. And I've done the same thing myself. All right, let's talk about launch. How do you recommend a course creator launch the product? What are some crucial steps?
Yeah. So getting it to launch, I mean, you know, a lot of people will get into building courses and then they start building the program and they're like, I launched it, nobody bought. And the big problem is that they didn't have an audience of people who actually wanted to buy. So what you can do, a little cheat code I've learned over the years, is that you can create your sales page. And I like to do this before we even build a course with clients now. So ideally, when I work with my private clients, I want to get them money quick because it gets them a quick win. They start making money, which feels awesome. But it's also giving us a ton of data as to what people really want to buy. So they're getting some coaching clients. And as they're coaching these people, they're starting to create that course content. What we also do is when they're kind of getting that ball rolling, we're going to build out their sales page. And instead of a call to action that says buy now or get signed up or get started or something and goes to a checkout page, we're just going to have an opt-in form. And it's going to say, hey, if you want to sign up and get updated, I'm building out this program. It's going to help you get this result. You can sign up for the waitlist. And having a waitlist page is great. Now, ideally, I like to coach people through the process and then build the content like I shared. Not everybody does that or wants to, but no matter what, you need a good baseline of an audience who's interested in this product. So even if you just build a waitlist page, it helps you, I feel, to build a really good course when you build the sales page first, because the sales page is what sells the course. And a lot of people will build it and then they're like, okay, now we have to communicate the value of this. But then if they built the course, they may have just like thought that it sounded good. But in terms of a marketing perspective and a sales page, it may not sound as juicy as they think it does. So if you start with the sales page, you can be like, if I was going to buy this program on this sales page, is it compelling enough to make me want to buy? Is it crushing objections I have? And then you'll be like, maybe we should add this bonus, or maybe we should word this different and make a promise. Because really, at the end of the day, that's what a sales page is. It's a promise. I have this program. It's going to help you go from here to here in an efficient way possible. Look, it's worked for other people too, testimonials. So you make the promise first and make it really juicy. And then when you build your course, you can be like, oh yeah, I have to make those templates or that one resource that really was going to sell this program, you know, like done for you templates or something like that. And then you know what to build and add into your course. So when you have this waitlist page or sales page and you're just driving traffic, I mean, you can, I love creating content. You could run ads to it. There's many ways you could drive traffic to it. But if you can see that you've got, you know, 200, 300, 500 people signed up on your waitlist page and you tag them when they sign up, then when you go to launch it, you have interested people already. And it's going to make your launch a lot easier. One big problem that I had when I was moving from the productivity space into the like course creation space, when I was kind of making that transition into Profit Your Knowledge, I had a decent sized audience and I was making sales with my courses and everything, but people came to me for productivity. So when I kind of changed it up, I was being like, hey, I'm like doing this online business, you know, kind of thing. And I tried to tie it to productivity of like, look, you can make money, which is going to save you time, take your passion, that kind of stuff. And it really just fell on deaf ears because it's not what people wanted. I built the wrong audience. So I didn't really make any sales. And it was like kind of annoying at first, but then I looked at the data and realized like it's just the wrong audience. So I have to go build up this new audience. And that was kind of a learning curve years ago that I really had to realize. So to make a really successful launch, it really helps to have a wait list of people who are eager to buy this thing. And that's pretty much just promoting it to them.
That sounds good. So let's say you do that and your product's launched. Once it's launched, do you recommend building an automated system that sells the product for you?
100%. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Like, we'll coach people, build out the product, get paid to build the product. While we're doing that, we're creating content, building up a bit of a wait list, and then we launch the product. And then after that, yeah, it's let's turn this thing evergreen, because you have a couple options. You could always do like the nonstop launching method, but launches can be a little stressful. You can make a lot of money at once. They can, you know, this is like what a lot of people will build their business around, just like nonstop launches. But yeah, there can be a lot of moving parts. They don't have to be stressful, but I prefer the method of like people constantly discovering me, getting into my funnel, and then finding out about my program and just having it be an obvious next step. Does everybody buy? Like, no, but the right people do. And that's how you start waking up to those random like $300, $500 sales, you know, and stuff like that. So yes, 100% turn it evergreen. It just makes your life a lot easier and it's always working for you.
I know both through my own experience and from coaching clients who are writing copy for launches and Actually, we have a great repeat guest, Brenna McGowan, who helps people with pre-launches to take a little stress out of the launch by warming up the audience before you even launch. But I know from multiple points of view that it can be very stressful. So I would also think getting business even after you've launched could be stressful. How do you keep getting leads and sales without driving yourself crazy, posting on social media or draining your bank account with ads?
Yeah, so I've done a lot of ads and done the daily posting. And the year that I stopped doing posting on social media primarily because I tried ads a handful of times and didn't have great success with it, it was much earlier in the day. And I'm not saying that ads don't work. I know people build very, very successful businesses on it. It's just a different way to play the game, you know, and you need money to invest and test things, which I think there's a lot of nuance that goes into ads that doesn't get sold, you know, out there. Like when your ads stop working or even just setting up your ads properly and then your ads get flagged by Facebook. Like there's a lot of things, there's a lot of phantom problems that come with it that don't get told until you're in it. But for me, what I really enjoyed was the long form evergreen content. I love YouTube. That's primarily it, but also blogging, podcasting like this. This podcast that we're building, I'm showing up as someone who's teaching you something. If you like what I say and you like the way that I teach it, you start to say, hey, this guy James is pretty smart. Maybe I should look into more stuff because I like learning from him. This is how it works. And this podcast is going to live on forever until David decides to take it down. If he does, or he just stops his podcast at all, it takes it all down, but that's probably not going to happen for a very, very long time. So YouTube videos work the same way. It's just evergreen. It's always working for you in the background. And evergreen content is so powerful because you can post it once and it keeps bringing in leads and business for months or years down the road. I mean, I still have some posts that I posted 2 years ago or even longer, and they're still bringing in business, which is crazy. Because the lifespan of your content is just so much longer. And when somebody has a question about how to get better at copy or stuff like that, they go to Google, they go to YouTube. It's probably how they found out about this podcast or through word of mouth. But like people go to Google and Google owns YouTube now. So it's going to recommend YouTube videos. And that search base is just so much better because you're not bombarding someone with an ad. They're actually seeking you. And if they like the way that you teach and the way you show up in the world and what you're teaching them and how you make them feel, more importantly, they're going to want to dive deeper with you and learn more. And that's when they get into your funnel by picking up a lead magnet that's very relevant to your product, have a series of emails over about a week or so, and then it points them to your product and then they can decide to buy, you know? But it's all about the congruency, the relevance, and just continuously showing up. So this is like what I mean. It's like, yeah, make money while you sleep, all that kind of stuff. But it's not like once you build it, just done. You know, you still have to show up, create the content, go on the podcast, but this is the fun stuff. And I think it just works better for people like us who enjoy teaching because we can keep showing up and actually coaching people and teaching and educating and serving our audience. And it's all just built on service when you do it right.
Great stuff. I agree. And one thing you said reminds me, there's a warning or a very negative trope out there that the internet lasts forever, you know? So if you make one mistake, you know, you're cooked for life kind of thinking, which I don't buy into, although it may be true. I'm not saying it's not, and I just don't like really get into it. But what you've shown is the flip side of that, that, you know, certain types of content are forever or last a long, long time and will show up for people who are looking for the kind of information that you're giving. I think that's really good.
Yeah. And it's just a different way of thinking about content. Now, the cool thing too, is that if you think about a YouTube video and people are like, well, I still want to be on social media, still want to be posting all the time. Something that I do right now, we kind of just started getting more serious about it, is I make a YouTube video. It's video. It's also audio. So I can use that as like a solo episode on a podcast, which I do, but also I can take my video and transcribe it into text. And now I can use that text to disperse on many different platforms and become omnipresent, as you will. But you can also use a great tool called Opus Clip. And Opus Clip allows you to copy and paste your YouTube video into it. And it creates pretty good clips. And a lot of people use it. But you can also publish directly to Instagram, to LinkedIn, to YouTube Shorts, to TikTok, and all of them, and do it inside of Opus Clip. And it gets you more omnipresent. So it just helps you extend your reach, but still the bread and butter really comes from YouTube primarily because it's that deep dive content.
I think it really does.
The big thing.
If you think about it, I mean, if you look back And I know we're so focused on the present and the future right now, but if you look back 10, 20, 30 years, we were all watching TV. We're used to doing that. That's a behavior. So if you can produce scintillating content or just something that's interesting in video on YouTube, it's really good. How about a case study? Could you tell us about one of your successful clients and how things are working out for that person with the kind of strategy you've talked about today?
I'm trying to think of which one I want to share. There's a couple. So Steve is one guy. He was posting on YouTube and he teaches people how to repair their credit. Super smart. He did it for like 20 years. And he was like, I want to take this and teach other people how to do it. And he already had products that were really good. We reviewed them and everything, but he wasn't able to really make sales with it. So I looked at his content on YouTube, excuse me, and he was getting like anywhere from 16 to 60 was kind of his cap on views with his content. And he had these really short, snappy, kind of had the right idea of like trying to answer people's questions, you know, which is a big piece of content, but didn't really have a cohesive strategy with it. So I helped him with his channel and just getting more traffic because he needed that to supply his products, and he wasn't really getting any opt-ins or anything. His lead magnet, which was like this quiz thing that some people helped him build, and they said you don't need lead magnets, but they helped him build one. I thought it was kind of funny. We helped him build just like a really targeted lead magnet that was about like credit card mistakes, you know, or yeah, it was years ago. I think it was about credit card, like the five biggest credit card mistakes that people make. And I think we could have even come up with a better one looking back at it now, but this was a long time ago. But anyway, we worked on his content and had his lead magnet up while we were building out his product. And we hadn't even finished his sales page, which was a crazy thing. We're still working on it. And he told me, he's like, hey, this is getting traffic over to my sales page, just so you know. But with his YouTube strategy, made a couple tweaks in the duration. We went on more deep dive content instead of these 3-5 minute videos. We went to like 10, even 20 minute videos where he's really supporting and serving his clients. And these videos went from getting like 30 to 60 views or so to all of a sudden getting 10,000 plus, just wow. Boom, like pretty much overnight, because he started having more intention with his content and finding what people really wanted and what they were searching for and interested in. And that was driving traffic over to his lead magnet, because I was telling him like promote the lead magnet, you know, like selling your content as well to dive deeper. So he started doing that. He was like, I've never gotten this many opt-ins in my life. And then people were even buying his program from his automated emails and then going over to his sales page. We hadn't even finished his sales page and it was just working for him in the background. So that's one example. Another one is Constance. Constance teaches notaries how to become notary signing agents. And like competent notary signing agents, because there's a lot that are not competent because it's just like an easy side gig for a lot of people. Right. But she's super legit, built an amazing career around this over the span of a decade. And she wanted to teach people and she had a little bit of an audience, but she was on TikTok because that's really where her audience was. And this is the importance of an audience. We built out her program, created a minimum viable product. You know, she did the research, all that kind of stuff. She found out the topic that people really wanted. And yeah, when she launched, like really didn't know anything. She was getting about $2,000 per month going live like once a week, you know, just on TikTok. And it was just bringing in leads. So she was, you know, and then she was also starting to make YouTube videos and that was bringing in leads and she was just getting those random sales. But yeah, she was getting about $2,000 a month and it was very basic, just kind of getting started. And that really helped her grow her business. But the cool thing about Constance and kind of what I mentioned earlier about building your product in a smart way, based on what people actually want and need and just the meat and potatoes, it's the need to know information versus the nice to know, which most people jam pack their course with to try and make it seem bigger. We kept it really small and simple. I looked over at her course completion rates one day, just kind of randomly popped in. She was getting like 80 to 90% course completion rates, which is crazy. And I was like, Constance, what is this? And she's like, is it good? I don't know. Cause she was so new. And I'm like, this is phenomenal. Like the average industry standard is like 5 to 13% or something crazy like that. Because people just jam pack their courses with a bunch of nonsense that people don't really want. You know, so there's a couple examples of this system in action and how it's really helped people.
Oh, it's really good. Suppose someone's interested, where do they go? What do you offer?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I have courses. I also offer private coaching. Private coaching is obviously, you know, the best if you're really serious about this because I'm very hands-on with my clients. I help you build all of this stuff. I treat your business like it's my own. I don't like logging into your dashboard and not seeing opt-ins or money. It's like, okay, let's fix this because I wouldn't want to see that in my own business. So yeah, it's the most hands-on. You can go to profityourknowledge.com/apply, and then you can learn more about my coaching process, what's included in there. If you really want to get more of a hands-on strategy with this kind of like my whole methodology and idea, a great place is to check out a free training I do have on my website. If you enjoy the free training, you're like, this is exactly what I'm trying to do. I do have a course that I offer that walks you through exactly how to do it. I give you the templates, tools, the scripts, like everything in just way more detail, but it gives you an overarching strategy with how to make this work. So you can get that by going to profityourknowledge.com/masterclass, or you can always just Google Profit Your Knowledge and, I'll show up.
All right. I'm going to just add 2 cents as we're out of here today. The first point that you made about the idea of if you build it, they will come. I think that's from like a Field of Dreams movie back in the day.
Yep. Classic.
Oh my gosh. That just destroys so many entrepreneurs believing in that myth. And then the last one, building a course and just putting all kind for the longest time, the idea was, and you get this bonus and you get this bonus and you get this bonus. And what I've learned is, hey, the one thing that you want, that's what's in this course. We're not going to overload you with analysis paralysis. We're not going to give you all of these different things. What's the one thing that people are asking for? That's what's in this course. So powerful. And both of those two things go right over so many people's heads. So I appreciate that you brought it up because it is so important. One more time before we're out of here, if people want to get in contact with you or find out what you've got to offer, where is the best place to go?
Yeah, my website is great. If you just Google Profit Your Knowledge, I will pop up. My YouTube channel is a great resource for free. Lots of awesome content on there. I have a podcast where David was on, and that was super fun. But if you go there, you'll see my masterclass. That's the best place to get started. You'll get on my email list, you know, and I'm always sending out, I send about 3 emails per week, just sharing different ideas and stuff to help you grow your business, you know, and yeah, you can always check out my courses, but courses, applying for coaching, all that stuff is just on the website, profityourknowledge.com.
Perfect. James, so thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of this with our listeners. And again, just invaluable lessons that people need to know. And if you enjoyed this episode, or if you want to get links to James's website, you can find them in the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com, as well as a plethora of other episodes there as well. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Stories are the most powerful way to get and hold a prospect's attention. Of course, you already know that. But the problem many of us have had is, even though stories are absolute magnets for getting attention, they don't do that much to advance the sale. That's because the way most of us have been taught to tell stories was not with persuasion in mind. I decided to change that. So I looked at what I had learned in studying story and writing copy for decades, as well as coaching all-star copywriters. What I had learned about stories that persuade, and I wrote a book. It's called The Persuasion Story Code. It tells you exactly how to create and use stories to move the sale forward. Lots of stories. I'm including examples of 25 different kinds with step-by-step guidelines for putting your own persuasion stories together. You can get The Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did.